and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Construction work on phase one of Penang's LRT, well, its first LRT line, is expected to begin at the end of this year. This after the Prime Minister had announced Putrajaya will be funding the LRT project following the scaling down of the Penang South Islands project. However, the LRT is not without controversy in Penang, as civil society groups have urged the federal and state government to reconsider the rail project. To discuss this further, I have joining me on the line Zulfikar Abdul Aziz, Treasurer of the Penang Public Transport Users Association. He's also a former Penang Island City Councillor. Zulfikar, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Before we begin our conversation, maybe, I do want to talk a little bit about your organization's concerns with the LRT project, but to set the scene for us, can you explain what we know about the project currently, what it entails, where it is going to pass, and what do we know has been decided as of yet?
Okay, thank you very much, Melissa, for having me in this program. As far as this LRT first phase, it has 19 stations, somewhere from Komta until just after the Penang International Airport. So that's about 19 kilometers, which means the station is 1 kilometer between each. Yeah? And this route is actually passing through a mature route. Mature in the sense that there are roads along the route. There are also already established bus services. This is the first phase that for the LRT.
Okay. All right. So I had been also hearing or reading about the fact that the alignment might be extended to Tanjung Bunga. I mean, there are several lines, but we're speaking about this main line of Komta to the airport. Might it be extended to Tanjung Bunga?
Yes. Actually, for the last 10 years, the talk has always been the first PSR LRT. That's how you supposedly started to establish the reclamation and all that. No? So I still stick to a PSR LRT. And then about 2 weeks ago, so our transport minister came and extended this so-called Amtu Tanjung Bunga. Yeah? That means one way is from Komta to Bayan Lepas, which is towards the south. And from the other extension is from Komta to Tanjung Bunga, which is right towards the west.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just wondering, what is the thinking? What do you think is the rationale behind that? Airport to Tanjung Bunga, is that for residents or for tourists?
Actually, this whole thing, when it started and referring to PSR, if you look at PSR in the first beginning, was supposed to sell the land, the reclaimed land, for transport. Yeah? So who can afford the land? Obviously, it's for the higher end, which means more of tourists, this my second home, you know, not really for the people as such. Yeah? If you see Penang, we have a long history, more than 200 years since the British landed. So we have a lot of descendants who are still in the B40 category among the Malays, Chinese, Indians, who are still left behind. And many of them actually have moved away from the island. They have to move to Kuling, Sungai Petani because of the cost of living. So I feel the government should give priority to this group of people. They are the real people who contributed to the success of Penang. In those days when their forefathers started, you know, they were very poor, they lived far away. So by right now, what Penang is, we should not forget them.
Okay. So I feel... Well, right. Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah. So this thing about the LRT, your question, you know, who is it for? Really, it's more for the tourists is more for the developers. No, it's for those with trying to attract the my second home. The last on the list is actually for the true blue Penangites. They are actually last on the list.
Well, in my conversation with the caretaker Penang chief minister last week, he mentioned that the line is just the beginning, the first line, right? So this Penang, the airport line would be the first line, and eventually there will be other lines connecting even mainland to the island. How do you respond to that? That, and this is all part of the Penang Transport Master Plan as well, that this is just the first branch. There will be many other branches that will help to serve the population of Penang.
Okay. The purpose of this LRT definitely is for the travel requirements. If you talk about Penang demography, is to go to our workplace, commute, and then we have our school kids, secondary school kids, college students, and also for other purposes, to hospitals, government offices, and all that. This is the main requirement, commuting. But if we see this first line, there are 19 stations I mentioned. I went through each of the station with the engineer in charge, and every station, on average, they are 15 meters high. 15 meters high, Melissa, that is the rooftop of a five-story low-cost flat. If you see a walk-up low-story, I mean a five-story flat, the rooftop, that is about 50 feet high. What does this mean, five-story high? When you talk about five-story high, it means it adds to your travel time. When you go, you got to get your lift. Nobody's going to walk up five-story high. Yeah, not even walking down, you know. So you got to use a lift or escalator. And from the route of this LRT, there's hardly any space to put enough lifts or even escalator. So it will be just lift, one probably. And out of these 19 station, only four or five has this park and ride. So all others, majority of it, 75% of it, you got to go to the station or from the station for the FLM, your first last mile. You need a second mode of transport. So for this, if you see, it's going to add up to the time. I feel before long, people are going to give up because during peak hour, many will not get the first lift. You got to wait, the lift go up, come down, and then you get it. Similar from up, coming down. Yeah. And what happens then when there's a power cut? Something wrong with the lift. How many can really walk up five story, you know, even walking down? So if you see the practicality of it and spending 10 billion on this first line, Penang in our history, more than 200 years, we have never spent this kind of money just for that line. If you see the size of Penang, that line is only a fraction of the whole state. And that will take easily 10 years. So to talk about second line, third line, and fourth line, really is something like a greenwashing, you know? And okay. Is there no alternative? Actually, there is alternative. We call it
are the alternatives?
Yes. We call it the better, cheaper, faster alternative. And actually, it is the pure, simple bus. If you see Penang, we have the history. People say you should learn from history. What is good, you must take. What is not good, you must not follow. And Penang has this history. I keep saying the 200 years history. And we had a very good, working, sustainable bus public transport until 40 years ago. We had the various Penang Yellow Bus, we had the Hin Hin, we had the Sing Sing, Sri Negara, and even the local council ran this bus. So if you see those days, people could come to work from Balik Pulau, 20, 25 kilometers away, to Georgetown, punch in at 8 o'clock those days, government office, or 8:15, and you can still go home, you know. So it's reliable. It was working. We lost it.
May I just interject here? I'm wondering, the concerns that some people have with buses is that Penang's current built infrastructure may not allow for smooth and efficient bus delivery system. Is that a concern that you have, or are there ways around it?
Actually, there are ways around it. We must remember that when we talk about a proper good bus public transport, it is a zero-sum game. You are not just adding as a cumulative. If you do a good bus public transport, really, there should be less vehicles on the road, because people then will use a bus, some of them, not all. You know, because one is reliable, is comfortable, is efficient, then there will be people moving to it for sure. Because today, when you see the buses, they are much more advanced. First of all, they're aircon. And when you sit on a bus, even if it's a 1 hour journey, you can do multitasking with your WhatsApp. You can work on your to-do list, make some calls, plan your day, take a rest. You know, so the same journey in a car, many of these things you can't do. So we must actually capitalize on such technology available. So the ways around it actually is there. Proper arrangement, you know, make it reliable. Because I see in Penang, there is a ready market waiting to use bus. But we must be reasonable. We must be practical. Don't just give them an LRT, but how many people stay within walking distance from LRT? No, very few. Those properties, even if there, the price is going to go up. So people right. need to sleep at their home. They must reach the home. So this LRT, for many people, is only half the journey.
So what is the way forward now? I'm wondering whether, is it already too late to turn back on this? Or are there still ways of consulting with the state government over the project?
Well, this state government is a third term now. So it is clear their mindset is made up from what I see. So, but to me, definitely this is not the best way. For your info, in 2018, our present Minister of Transport, Anthony Lok, he came to Penang, and I still have the video. He mentioned in 2018 that he feels LRT may not be the best option. He mentioned in 2018. And when I heard that, I say he's talking the right narrative. But today it has changed. Not only he say LRT will be expedited, just 2 weeks ago he say extended to Tanjung Bunga. Last week he says from the island to mainland will give another LRT. You know, it's simple as though money is nothing. Yeah? So it's really not practical, it's not proper. I don't know whether it can go back or not, but for the sake of Penang, this is not the right way, definitely, because there is an alternative. I'm not just saying against LRT, but always there is an alternative. And today, Melissa, recently we had the new ferry. You might be aware. We got 4 new ferries from Western Europe, good quality. Even though they are single deck, they're only for passenger and two-wheelers, bicycle, motorcycle. So by right, the state, you know, if they're really keen on public transport, they should have planned. This ferry, historically, it has been just from the mainland to island one route. But today, there's a lot of traffic jam, like people going to the FIZ for the factories. So this ferry actually should be expanded. For example, you can take from the central on the mainland terminal, you go straight to the FIZ. From FIZ, some of them can take their bicycle or even motorcycle, go to their factory. Or the factory can have a bus service, you know, just within there. Similarly, from the ferry terminal to Batu Kawan. And then similarly, from south of mainland Nibong Tebal, just go to the FIZ. So this is such a game changer. But this state government purposely refused to do it. And the state government is saying this ferry service is only from 6:30 to 8:30. Penang is a full state, city state status. How can you stop a ferry at 8:30? You know, there are buses from intercity coming, there are KTM ETS service coming after that. So it shows that I'm afraid the mindset is wrong with regards to public transport in Penang. When the history of success was already there. They should have actually continue from there.
And Sheikh Zulfikar, thank you so much for joining me on the show. That was Zulfikar Abdulaziz, Treasurer of the Penang Public Transport Users Association. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Tonight we're considering different perspectives on the viability and the benefits of Penang's first LRT line, which is set to begin construction by the end of the year. Joining me now is Dr. Rosli Khan. He is the partner and managing director of MDS Traffic Planners and Consultants. Rosli, thank you for joining me on the show. As someone who is in this industry, I'm just wondering how you assess the economic viability and the potential benefits of a line like the Penang LRT line, as we understand it right now, from the airport to Komta, maybe even to Tanjung Bunga. What are the factors that you that transport economists like yourself consider when it comes to the success or failure of a project?
Well, thank you, Melissa. Thank you for having me back. Penang LRT, they have been talking about it for a while. I think they were looking at having a master plan since 2008. Mm-hmm. And the first line that they evaluated was Bayang Lepas to Georgetown, like what you mentioned. But over the years, the demand has actually changed quite a bit. In fact, now you can see that the demand, the movement of people and cars are between Seberang Perai and Bayang Lepas. Seberang Perai being the area where most people live now, because I think partly because housing costs in Penang Island itself is very high. So a lot of people actually shifted to stay in Bayang Lepas, where it's cheaper, they can live in landed properties instead of living in an apartment and things like that. So those are the considerations of the people living in Seberang Perai. But unfortunately, they have to commute daily to Bayang Lepas to work. So without public transport or any kind of mass rapid transit system, they have to drive their own cars. So that's where you get that congestion, heavy congestion in Seberang Perai. Traffic during the peak period, heavy level of traffic are recorded on Penang Bridge. That's the conclusion.
So help me understand. So do you, from your perspective, do you think that an LRT project for Penang is the best use of federal and state government resources?
Well, I mean, traffic congestion is one of the issues that is not just in Penang. In KL, we see that every day, in other places like Johor as well. So it is the intention of the government to reduce road traffic congestion. So it's not easy, it's not straightforward to move people out of their cars into a mass transit system. It may not necessarily be LRT. Mass transit is normally planned for areas that has got high demand corridors. Mm-hmm. So in the case of Penang, we can see that the area between Seberang Perai and Bayang Lepas, like I mentioned, where people stay and where people work, that form the high demand corridor. So if there is any plan to build a mass transit system, so that should be given the priority. The study that they did in 2008, I believe it is now out of date. So they probably be better to commission a new study and probably see how the movement of people are now have changed over the years. So, And one aspect that I have to stress is that any form of mass transit system to be planned, to be implemented by the government, it has to look at moving people instead of moving cars. So in the past, we have been involved in trying to move vehicles rather than people. So that's why we were building a lot of highways, a lot of dual carriageway, improving the roads, junction, elevated highways, and all this. So to move cars, but we should be looking at moving people instead.
Right. So the proposition has to be an attractive one to get people out of private vehicles into public transport. I'm wondering about the ridership, the projected ridership for Penang LRT. Penang, given that it is a smaller state, mainland and island, how do we think about the potential implications of increasing ridership? Are there lessons that you take from similar projects that can be applied to a Penang LRT? Klang Valley, for instance, do we have the ridership that we want for our rail lines? And can Penang ensure that there is sustainable ridership for its LRT?
That's why we need to undertake a study to determine where are the high demand corridors. I think it is quite safe to assume that most of the vehicles using First Penang Bridge. So that's quite heavy. So that's where people want to go. So if you conduct a study and determine where do they come from? Seberang Perai is a big area. It's a very large area. But everybody seems to be converging into Penang Bridge to get to the other side. So the study will determine where do they come from, where are their origins. And then we know that the destinations is actually on Penang Island, but majority, the way I see it, is that most of them heading towards Bayan Lepas, where the employment zones are located. So we need to conduct that study before we assume anything further, yeah.
Okay, so there have also been suggestions that apart from the LRT, or LRT may not be the most effective or optimal use of funds in terms of easing traffic congestion in Penang, which seems to be everyone's woes at the moment. Buses and ferries have been touted as a solution. Where do you see the pros and cons of an LRT over buses and ferries?
Okay, the first thing is that, yes, LRT can move people in high numbers, but the cost of constructing LRT is very high. In the case of Penang, they have been talking about at a cost of about 10 billion ringgit, which is actually very high. But there are other alternatives that they could consider. Autonomous rapid transit in the form of buses, extended buses, that can accommodate up to maybe 400 passengers in one vehicle per direction. So if you are operating at an interval of every 5 minutes, then you can carry 400, 450 passengers in one go. So autonomous rapid transit has been chosen by city in Kuching City Council, City Council of Kuching, and they are testing it, I believe, from August onward. So that could be a good yardstick for us to take in the case of how effective the system will be. And given that the cost is a fraction of what they spend on LRT, I think we need to give that more a chance, to prove itself that it can move people instead of moving vehicles.
What goes into the cost of building an LRT? And the reason I wonder is for the first line on the island of Penang, given how small the island is and how small the roads are, and land is always a constraint on the island, what are some of the considerations as to what goes into the final bill of the LRT? My previous guest mentioned that the stations could be as high as 5 stories, considerable height. How does that play into the cost of an LRT?
Well, yeah, LRT are mainly elevated. So the civil engineering work that is associated with building LRT is very high. It's very costly. And in the case of Penang, you have to cross the sea parallel to the first bridge of Penang, maybe straddling the bridge on both sides of, to get to the island from Seberang Perai and also the other way, vice versa. The stations is an issue because accessibility to LRT, you know, you have to go up the staircase, you have to depend on the escalator if they work, and also the lift to carry people. And most of the time, in the case of KL, they are not there, they are not in working condition. So you, for passengers to use LRT, it is an issue. Whereas if you go on the mode of, let's say, tram or ART and so on, the station is at road level, so it is easily accessible by anybody, elderly people on wheelchairs, mothers with pram, and you know, and so on. So they don't have to climb up the stairs so much. So in that aspect, tram or ART are more accessible, has got better serviceability, and can attract more passengers to use rather than LRT. Yeah. So those are advantages side right. of non-LRT mode.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. That was Dr. Rosli Khan, Partner and Managing Director of MDS Traffic Planners and Consultants. And that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.